This week's episode has been brought to you by the paid subscribership of Adam Shively. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, because this fantastic asshole gave us $50, you beautiful son of a bitch. You can do the same thing by going to thedadpodcast.com. $24 a year changed our lives. I said it. Listen to me. Listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 132. I am your host, Justin Warsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you, Sir Paco?
I am fine.
you're on an episode of Hee Haw.
Yeah, something episode. Like that.
All right. Fair enough.
I thought we'd be funny for once.
Why do I got to get lumped into?
Oh, I don't know.
Why does it got to be we have to
oh,
be funny?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I should have been self-deprecating.
Why we got to kick the show off? It's a Valentine's episode. It's supposed to be about
Valentine's episode.
Well, yeah, we got Valentine's coming this weekend.
This is true. I hadn't remembered that. I'm in a loveless marriage, so.
Oh, how dare you. Let me check the numbers. Let's see if Luna's listening. I smell a call coming. Oh, she's running. That's why
That's
he's so ballsy.
It. Yeah, there you go. Oh,
we got to get Luna the app, guys. We got to get her the app so she can listen and stream while she's
running.
I told her.
I think she's afraid to be laughing while she's running.
What? Why would that be bad? You would think that it would distract you from the pain she's
No, you got to get your breathing straight, man. You got to have a whole system for breathing.
Clearly, I never run. I did a little Oklahoma drill with the kids in the backyard over the weekend. And let's just say Daddy got winded. Let's just say.
I know. I take the trash out. I come back and she's sighs. She goes, why are you breathing so heavily? Because like, there's three steps out there. Have you seen them? I had to go down them and back up.
That's at least a 40% grade.
Yeah.
And I got to do it in just three steps. Right. I got altitude sickness just at the top. Let me check my little show notes. There's going to be a little bit of some shifting around in experimenting with the kind of the way that the show works. Let's not do that first. So here's the first thing that I want to talk about to get out of the way.
Tell us.
Is my shower situation, my shower suggestion that those of you may or may not remember.
Oh,
from
yes.
Episode
yes, I do. The creepy.
With Ray. No.
The creepy factor.
How dare you?
Sorry.
The internet is a flurry, Paco.
Oh!
The internet is a flurry, my friend!
All right.
Many of the fine gentlemen who listen to this program have come swooping in to my rescue and have said it is not creepy. I enjoy it.
Yes.
My wife enjoys it. I have received letters saying that they go in there, and the ladies have said that it makes them feel sexy. What? I see
your
hand up.
Here's what I was going to say. First of all, had you been hearing from ladies as well?
Yes.
Because this is anecdotal. Obviously, my personal experience is not does not exemplify everyone's personal experience.
Right.
But it was definitely creepy when I watched Natalie shower.
She was
very uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, maybe it's not for everyone.
Okay.
That's
all right.
What we've learned here.
Right.
It's not for everyone.
No, please tell us about the support. I was completely unaware of this.
Listen, I've got, I'll just peruse a few of the many emails.
Please do.
I'll give you the highlights, if you would, of what I was received. Countless numbers of emails have flown in. This one comes to us from a gentleman, says, just listened to 129 with Doc Rachel and wanted to comment on the shower show idea.
Yeah.
My wife gets upset with me when I don't sit in the bathroom while she's showering because that's her favorite time to talk. She and her sister would talk through the shower curtain all through their teen years. I loved it at first, but after 4 years of all talk and no glass doors, I'm tapped out. We're 25, don't have kids yet, but we're trying and have a house of our own. So I'm sure I'll regret feeling this way sooner or later. However, this glass door has me thinking it's time to remodel. And I agree with you, good sir.
Yeah.
You need a glass door. That is pivotal. Here's what
hang
I
on,
have.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say that one's got to get an asterisk next to it because
you fucking
no,
asshole.
Just listen, because it's a curtain. He can't see her. So the creepy factor is
you
out.
You think he can't see? I have a shower curtain in my house. Listen.
That's why
you
put a Klieg light in there. So
I have a breakfast nook level table that I can sit and enjoy my wife's eggs, if you know what I'm saying. Sunny side up, Big Daddy.
Right.
Oh, what are you going to asterisk this? I got another email.
See, yours, it's eggs. Mine, it's flapjacks. So it's a completely different situation.
How dare you? So brazen when she doesn't listen. So brazen.
She's so many weeks behind, I don't think she's coming back.
Here's another one. It says, I just finished the podcast with Angel Gibbs. I want to let you know that I don't think your shower idea is bad or creepy at all. I've never sat down on the toilet to watch a show. I have stood there and watched her shower through the door in the master bathroom a little while. She didn't think it was creepy either. She just laughed at me and continued showering. Now, here's what that laughter means, my good friend.
Oh, really?
No, don't all really me. I will mute your microphone. That laughter means I'm into it. I'm telling you, gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's the week of love. Go in there and watch a lady get all lathered up. There is nothing more innocent, more pure than you watching someone that you are betrothed to and you are yeah. your soulmate get all lathered up and just, you know what I mean? Just let her get into it. You know what I mean? Just get, she's going to start putting on some soap and some shampoo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. And then you just sit there and you have a little conversation where you go, hey, what's going on? How you doing? You know, and then and you get to take a gander and she sees you looking. She knows what's up. I'm telling you, it's the way to go. It's the way to go. Bow chicka wow wow, says the chat room. That's right, Nikki. That is right. What else did he say? I've pulled back the shower curtain enough to peek in when she's using the main bathroom.
Oh, my God.
She knew I was
that
in the room.
Creepy.
That is not creepy. Oh, your poor wife. Yeah. Yeah. Guess what?
Yeah.
I'm about to hold up a mirror. See how you like it. Your poor wife doesn't get to know what it's like to be desired in such a pure animalistic way.
Hang on a second.
Yeah. What's up?
I do it almost every day.
You let her know she's a desired or you watch her in her?
I go into the bathroom when she's showering all the time.
So why is it creepy when he does it, but not when you do it?
When you do it. Because I do it with respect.
Fair enough. Oh, you're respectful?
Yeah.
How is it respectful? You don't whip out your dong like I do? Is that the difference? Is that you think you're better than me because you don't handle yourself?
I don't know.
Is
that I never thought of it as a show for me. She just keeps doing her thing, and I'm in there. I do my thing.
Well, you're not. That's not the thing. What
no,
do
no,
you
no.
do your thing?
I'm not going to the bathroom. I'm in there to check in with her or go, hey,
well,
listen.
You're chatting. You're
yeah,
doing
yeah,
like
yeah.
the first one where
like
you're having a conversation.
One. Yeah.
But you're not sneaking a peek? You're not getting a look at the goods?
You know what? I don't know. Call me in 15 years. I mean, the thing is, you've been with her the same amount of time I've been with my, Luna and I have been together the same amount of time you
right.
two have. But it wasn't the same.
You guys were older
yeah.
when you got
when
married.
When we.
Now, here's the thing. One could argue
yes.
that's why it's that much more important that we partake. Because we have seen each other in our prime, and we have seen the fall.
Right, I was already damaged goods by the time she got to me.
We have seen the continental shelf fall off and fall into the great abyss.
True enough.
Magical
true
enough. Water creatures. What else did he say before you rudely interrupted his email? She knew I was in the room, and I would watch until she saw me. Then she would just laugh and keep showering. So I just want to let you know that I think it's a great idea. Keep up the good work, guys. So,
I take it back. He sounded like he was doing it playfully.
Yes. What? I don't understand. What is it that you think I'm doing in there?
I don't know, but it's not, every time you talk about it, you make it sound creepy, man.
I'm not in there going, yeah, what are you going to wash next? Well, what are you doing, you dirty little girl? You're so dirty, you got to clean up.
Well,
you're so dirty.
You installed a table so you can watch her prepare
for comfort,
her eggs.
I want to put my elbow somewhere. It's for comfort. Sitting on a toilet is not. It's not meant for long term. It's
That's
meant for
true.
10 minutes tops, I believe.
Right. True
so
enough.
It's what the only part she got a problem is when I built a. In a sense, what I did was I took a Lazy Boy, an old one that I
yeah.
found out in front of an apartment building in L.A.
Yes,
and I cut out. A hole where the toilet goes, you know, so it just slides in like a
slots in there,
like a facial tissue cozy box. You know what I mean? Like it just lays in and just boom. And then I kick back and I eat some Cheetos off my belly while she handles her business.
Right.
Nothing creepy about that.
Not at all.
Nothing
not at
creepy
all.
About that.
Right.
Oh, that's good times. That's fun. Here, I want to try something here because we both had the same idea, and I wanted to because we have some fun emails that come in, and we don't carve out enough time in the show for listener feedback and emails and stuff like that. So
yeah, this show should be longer. I don't know what we're doing.
No, it can't be longer. We can't get longer. But I thought this would be a good little. Let's see how this. I just got this just before the show. This is the minimal amount of production I could do.
Yes.
But this is a little Bonnie Raitt, something to talk about. See what I did
Excellent.
There?
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Yes.
Some of you may remember the little rom-com where the, with I think it was Dolly Parton and who else? Am I wrong here?
Dolly Parton was in it, yes.
And it was one of the Quaids. Am I crazy?
Or? God, I don't know.
All right. Well. We'll give them something to talk about because evidently that's what we're doing because we're getting cheesy on the show. let's see what we got here. I want to go back to some more emails because we had some fun emails, but I'm bouncing around because I had to pull up more evidence of the joys of watching your lady shower.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I did get feedback from women, but if there's a lady who's against it, I'm not above not reading
Ignoring.
That on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not above not reading it. I'm not above right. just letting that one slip and call it spam. I'm not above that. I'm just telling you straight up.
Dude, it was Quaid, and I was going to say Julia Roberts, and there she is, too.
It is Julia Roberts, not Dolly Parton?
Well, I don't know. Dolly Parton might be in it in a supporting role, but...
No, I thought it was Quaid, and, but it's Julia Roberts.
Yeah, I mean,
They're talk show hosts, like you and I.
Yeah.
Trying to give them something to talk about.
Yeah. No, there's no Dolly Parton in this at all.
Oh,
it's
well,
Gina Rowlands, who's often mistaken for Dolly Parton.
Forgot your word. The incomparable?
The incomparable.
The incomparable
yes.
Gina Rowlands. All right, let's get back to some emails.
Yes.
This one is in regards to the episode I did with my dad about finances. It says, Justin, listener since day one, I enjoyed the financial episode you did with your dad. I've been following Dave Ramsey for close to 3 years now, and he is a life changer. I just wanted to thank you for that episode and tell you I am flying with it? I think it just says flying and then sent from his phone. So maybe he's literally flying.
Oh, wow.
And he had to turn it off
yes.
because the cabin door was closing.
Yeah.
You can run your music, but you can't send emails on that.
It makes sense. Well, that's terrific, though.
Yeah. Today, here's another one. Today, I finally got around to doing something that I should have done a long time ago by showing my support for the Dad Podcast via Patreon. And so I decided it was
cool.
time to take care of something else that has been on my list for much too long. Thank you so much for everything you do. I'm going to paraphrase here. She says, was a few months later, the first month we were allowed to try again. Oh, yes. This is a great email where he talks about, and I've read it. Here's the thing. I read all the emails.
Yeah.
But I can't. I talk too much. I can't read them also aloud
right.
on the show.
Right.
And let's be honest. Some of the, I mean, I can't
Please.
Correct grammar on the fly. I'm not that good of a cold reader. If I was that good of a cold reader, I'd be on a sitcom.
Right.
And I'm doing some, you know, I would be more than just an internet celebrity.
Yes. He'd be booking more gigs.
More gigs a lot. But what I liked about it is that he, because I'm stuck with the Dolly Parton in my head for some weird reason. Like to watch her take a shower, am I right?
Right.
Maybe about 15 years ago. That'd probably be better. But this strange, odd, one-sided friendship we share is precious to me. No, this includes you too, Paco. Your story of singing
sweet.
To your son in episode 74 can bring tears to my eyes every time I hear it. Keep doing what you do. It is great, and it's important. Thank you again, and stay frosty. So
that's terrific.
Yeah, good times here. This one is from our dear friend Nikki, who we've talked on the show a few times. And she says, my husband has been listening to your podcast for a while now, and I decided to follow suit on December 14th, 2014. So happy anniversary for us and Nikki. I started listening to episode number one of the Dad. Look at that. We finished the song. I suck at this.
Yeah. Kind of staring
so hard.
To heaven.
Tonight, January 3rd, 2015, I'm on episode 56. I'm also listening to all current episodes as they come. I'm 28, married for night. Well, now we know Nikki's story, but she's very sweet, and I appreciate it. This one is from CJ. We all remember CJ with her rage-filled...
CJ, I think, is in the chat room right now.
Oh, good. She says, huge hug for you, dude. Now, this is back in November, so I don't know what to regard it. The gossiping tart of a teacher. Oh, yes. I now remember.
Yeah.
Oh, you should really have told that woman about herself. Oh, my goodness. I almost caught a flight to L.A. just to tell the teacher what her job is. You should have cleaned the floors with her face. That's why I like CJ. We also got some fun comments on Facebook. This one comes from Jazzercise Tina, mm-hmm. or Tana. I'm sorry, Tana.
Yes, I was going to have read this, or have you read
She's
it?
Talking about episode 130, am I right, mm-hmm. that we did about being friends with kids, sort of, kind of, maybe?
No, well, friends with your own kids.
Yes, exactly. Listen, I'm friends with all children. I'm not a judge. I don't have prejudice in me.
We're back to creepy.
Other than ethnicity. Love the discussion about being friends with the kids. It was really awesome and deeper than usual. Emoticon, that's a smiley face for those of you listening at home.
Yeah.
Keep it coming. My comment is in line with what Paco said about the exceptional combination that is each child plus each parent plus each destiny plus everything else. I felt my parents were awesomely wonderful and handled parenting in just the right way, while my sister felt it was awful and horrible and hasn't spoken to them in 13 years. You just never know what's right for each child. After 12 years of parenting, I've decided that the best thing for me, my husband, and our kids is to be one, to be clear about what my goals are and the parenting techniques I choose, to own that I know intuitively what is best for my children, for the children I bore, and three, to respect the different parenting styles of my partner, which does add awesome balance to the equation. Your discussion pointed out all of these factors, so own it, boys, and go forth. Let the dice roll, because at the end, all any of us can hope for is the secure enough feeling that we did what we believed was the right thing. Love the podcast, and we'll give again next year, but first have to give to Naptime Radio. They rock, too. Do love me some Naptime Radio.
That was terrific. sorry. First of all, I would like to say that her parents did do a terrific job with her. Clearly, they dropped the ball with the other one because she's the one who listens.
Yeah, she's
and
got
likes
good
us.
Taste.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
so we know they were on the right track.
She's clearly attracted to the right kind of guys.
And the second thing is I want to know just how it is she bores her children.
Probably with like a drill press, I would imagine.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like a three-quarter.
Yes, yes, firm. And.
Yeah, I know how to improvise. This isn't my first rodeo.
I thought that was a terrific email, and I did more show prep for this particular episode.
Yeah, I noticed. Jesus Christ.
I won't be honest.
So did I. Come on, sidekick comes in with an hour and a half of notes. We could do this. We could do this.
And then suggestions that didn't fit into the notes.
Yes.
So in any case, this was definitely one of the things that I had highlighted. It's something we had to touch on.
It's awesome. I like this, too. Victor posted this on the Facebook wall. While sitting at the dinner table with my wife, 5-year-old daughter, and 7-year-old son, asks, what does it mean when someone sticks out their middle finger? It's like, I like those stories. I like, I asked him, which would he rather do? Would he rather explain what that means or explain where babies come from? He does not have a, but and that's the reason why I bring this up is that you also weighed in and said, wait, it's not the same thing, but you have to put a dash Paco.
Oh,
because
sorry.
Otherwise it looks like I'm talking to myself.
My fault.
It's all right. I'm not mad. I'm doing it for the sake of the show.
Yeah. Sorry.
Let's see what else I went to my booster club meeting last week. That was exciting. I think I might have made some moms angry. They want me to join the PTA board.
Okay.
I was the only dad there. That was also, I thought, interesting.
Yeah.
The thing that I thought was that they have presidents and they have their way of doing things and all that stuff. And they said, hey, we're doing this family event for PTA, and we need an event part of it. Like, we have the food.
Yeah.
And that's about it. So we need something else. Usually we'll do, like, a magician or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I know a comedian who is good for all ages. And they were like, great. And then I said, well, I also wanted to point out that there's a club that I'm connected to here in Southern California that does a lot of fundraising. And
right.
I think they could help you out. And they were like, oh, no, they want to, like... Like, not no, as in that's not a good idea. It was like, oh, that's a great idea. And I said, yeah, you could probably get, you know, most of the door, if not all the door. And they're like, no, they're not going to give that to us. And I go, can you guys fill a 300-seat comedy club? And they're like, oh, yeah, we could. I'm like,
right.
Then I think they'll give you most of the door. It's
right.
A fundraising thing. Like, I don't.
You're not saying they're going to give a pass on the 2-drink minimum or anything
no,
like that.
No, that's the idea.
They're going to make their money.
Yeah, I just thought here's what it is. It's the story of my life for whatever reason is that people like to talk to me about things that I clearly know about. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, how many times can you think where you're talking to a comedian about the business and infrastructure of a comedy club
right.
and disagreeing with what they're suggesting?
Right.
And by the way, it's not like I'm saying, hey, we need some of the girls to give out some hand jobs or the moms to give some back rubs.
Right.
All I'm saying is, hey, I have a way to put a bunch of money in your account.
Yeah. And not only that, it's not just like – if it were me going, oh, you know what might work is if we went to this comedy club downtown and we talked mm-hmm. to them, you're saying, I'm in with them.
Yes.
I'm already in their pocket.
I've got it.
You know, I can make – that's one call. No. You know, even if it was you get half the door. Fuck you. Right. That's half the door.
Well, then they told me that – I go, well, what's a great fundraiser? Like $3,000? They go, no. And I go – and I thought they meant like they needed more. And
right.
they're like, we're happy if we get like 500. I'm like – I could definitely get you $500. Like, I started doing the math. I go, it's 300 seats. At $10 a ticket, which is half the normal price,
right.
that's $3,000. Even if they give you half the door, you've right. tripled what you would like to get
right.
in
right.
one freaking night.
Yeah. And all you have to do is get people there.
Right.
The person on stage is doing the rest of the work.
Right. This isn't interesting to the listener, except for maybe unless you...
So that's our criteria now?
That is for me. It always has been.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that we're talking more about the infrastructure of stand-up comedy and less about the politics of a booster club meeting.
No, but there's still, no,
it's applicable. Like, it's like if I was a carpenter and they said, oh, we need a kissing booth or a dunking booth. And I said, oh, I could build it out of 3/4-inch ply. And they're like, we really think 1/4-inch would be the best way to go. And I'm like, no, that's not stable. Like, well, okay, we'll figure it out. Like, you know, like,
right.
I don't know. And I'm petrified because they were like, oh, you could be in the show. And I'm like, no, I don't want anybody. There's a part of me that is deathly afraid that people at this school will find the show and go back and listen to the horrible, horrible, horrible things I've said about this.
Right.
Oh, by the way, while I'm on this subject real quick, sorry to jump around on you, but I got another email from his teacher that I thought was adorbs. She said, dear Mr. Worsham, two teachers graded Justin's writing prompt this afternoon. Please tell him he did well.
It takes a village.
His name is Jacob, and he's been in your class for 7 fucking months every day.
Oh, wow.
And maybe it's because he's not a squeaky wheel. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really
Well, there was
know.
That one time that he left his lunchbox. Or his jacket. Yes. No, it was his jacket that
he left.
It was
his jacket.
Right.
She brought in another lunchbox that was not important. By the way, he left his Batman thermos cup. So we could all just imagine about the email exchange that's going to happen about that.
Right.
Holy crap. Well, I might release this episode a little early, depending on how it goes. I'm on the fence here.
Okay.
But this is Valentine's Day is coming.
Yeah.
And I found some interesting little tidbits, some little fun facts.
Do tell.
If you would, about Valentine's Day. In the U.S. alone, more than 58 million pounds of chocolate candy are sold during Valentine's week. That is $345 million in sales in just 1 week, and it makes up more than 5% of chocolate candy sales for the year. Isn't that interesting to you?
Yes, that's a staggeringly large amount.
I'm doing something for Bill Carroll's show on KFI here in Los Angeles, where I went around today to the mall and asked men and women what they thought of the Valentine's Day. I'll pull one of the clips because here I could play the unedited version of it. It is – let me just say that what I found interesting in my quote-unquote research is that when I approached a mom who had, like, a small child or whatever, the answer was, oh, nothing. Like, what do you think of Valentine's Day? Oh, it's just another day. Like, it was a lot of that. And it's like, well, what would you – I asked 3 questions. I said, what did you think of Valentine's Day? And then I said, what do you hope that your significant other or your Valentine will get you?
Yeah.
And they, and then what do you plan to get them? Interesting things. Lots of women saying – oh, I'd like chocolate and some flowers, or I would like him to just do the dishes and handle and maybe take the kids for a little bit. And then when I said, well, what are you getting him? Lots of women saying, which I, listen, I'm a guy. It's not like I'm sitting here craving. I busted my wife's balls and I bought a box of heart-shaped box of chocolates from Ralph's and brought it home. She's like, oh, you got chocolate for me. That is my Valentine's gift to me because nobody gets me shit around here.
Yeah.
I love you too, dear. Here's something else. Valentine's Day ranks just below Christmas and Mother's Day in holiday floral sales. The National Retail Federation estimates that consumers will spend $1.7 billion on flowers as gifts for Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God.
Although Valentine's Day increases the demand for long-stem roses, thereby increasing the price, you might want to give someone a number other than the traditional dozen. Receiving a single-stem rose implies that you are the only one. Three roses stand for I love you. 11 stems express the thought, I am the missing stem to make the dozen perfect. Three dozen long-stemmed roses mean my heart belongs to you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, interesting. These are fun facts. This is what happens when Daddy does a little research.
Yeah, I'm much more likely to buy three than three dozen.
Why is that? What is your tradition in the Julie household?
We really don't have much of a tradition. Luna's birthday is about a week after Valentine's, and so we save all our celebrating for that.
You're saving. Wait, say that again.
Her birthday.
Oh.
Is the 22nd.
Oh, so you save up for that.
She'll be 31 years old.
She has to live with my birthday's too close to Christmas. So
sort
to,
of.
You
not, not even that. I don't know that it was ever a super.
When was the last time you got her something on Valentine's Day?
Couldn't tell you. That's not to say it wasn't last year. I just couldn't tell
okay,
you.
Fair enough.
You're better off asking her. I will tell you this. When she and I first started dating, I was sort of hanging out. She was out with a bunch of friends on Valentine's Day, and I think I ended up at a bar in the same place they were in. I can't really tell you. I was just – no, never mind. This is not a story. I was she's not as romantic as I am.
Oh, so, wow. Luna taking lots of hits here.
No, no. She'll
Paco's working the body. Got to take her to the ropes.
She will –
Down goes Luna. Down goes Luna.
I'm much more the one I can remember, you know, we'll be walking. If we go back and visit New York, we'll be walking down the street and I'll go, hey, I kissed you in that doorway. And she'll go, whatever, you know, but I can remember pulling her into the, you know,
how much of that do you make up?
No, I don't make up any of it, but I should.
That's what I would, right?
I should go. Then I should go, oh no, I'm sorry. That wasn't you.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
my mom keeps having that situation with my dad and it makes me laugh. She's like, he goes, oh, remember when we went to Alcatraz? She goes, I've never been to Alcatraz.
Right.
They've been together for 25 years.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
It makes me laugh every time. Here's some more fun
yes,
stuff.
Yes, please.
That it says that 1/4 of men spend because they feel obligated or are just trying to get lucky. Isn't that a shocker? One of the fine gentlemen that I interviewed today for the Bill Carroll show, he said, he goes, let me give you, he's like 22, mind you.
Yeah.
Working at one of those like screen repair iPhone kiosks.
Right, right. It.
But he's going to get fucking Play-Doh on a, you know, for all he knows, a 48-year-old man. I got a lot of gray
right,
hair is what
right.
I'm saying. And he goes, let me give you a little advice. He says, don't start off big. You want to build your way up. He goes, start with one rose. And because otherwise you got nowhere to go.
Right. Kanye.
But down.
Right. Kanye's got that same problem.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes, and then he says, and so I ask him both. He goes, oh, he goes, now I have a girlfriend. It's crazy expensive. And, you know, they rattle off. These guys are young dudes, man.
Yeah.
They're getting, one guy said, this is what his list was. He goes, I got her clothes. I got her scarves. I got her a big box of chocolates, a dozen roses, a teddy bear, and we're going out to dinner. And I said, this is what I love about it. I go, what are you hoping that she gets you? He goes, her vagina. I had to write the producer of the show to go, one guy literally said,
right.
Which I think is awesome. But I don't know if we could say that on terrestrial radio. He goes, nope, we're good. Bring it in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, outstanding.
That's great.
Bill Carroll show getting risque, 12:35 Pacific.
That's great.
On Friday the 13th. The longer the relationship and the older you get, the less you spend. Love may or may not fade over time, but the likelihood of going all out on Valentine's gift seems to die the longer couples are together. One poll shows that men spend on average $154 on fiancés. Now, how much do you think it drops off for your wife? When she becomes your wife, what do you think the dollar?
Oh, not my wife in particular.
Yeah,
but
just
in
general, like just a spitball here.
You want a percentage or you want a dollar amount?
A dollar amount. Like, just give me a dollar.
It drops down to $165.
I like it. See, that's what I would have thought. $136. That's not that much.
Wait,
of a
it went from
off.
What to what?
$154 to $136, like $20. That's not
Jesus
that.
Jesus Christ! Yeah. No, you already bought the cow.
We are both well below average. Let's just say.
Right.
I think here's what I do for my lovely bride is that she doesn't like to go out. I'm lucky. She's a white trash princess, which makes her low maintenance.
Yes.
She loves Red Lobster, and because I used to work at Red Lobster, again, white trash princess, gotta love it. I'm telling you, go ethnic or white trash. That's the way to go out there, fellas, if you're looking for a second wife. Sober Sam, he's in the chat room. That's my advice. Oh, that's why I am on the phone. We should talk to him.
Okay.
But so I make, instead of going out, because it's the longest wait of the year, she doesn't like to go to a restaurant.
Right.
So I steam some crab legs
and
barbecue some steaks, and then I know the recipe, sort of. For the Red Lobster biscuits that everybody loves. For anybody listening at home and would like to have it, all you do is you brush scampi sauce on the cheddar biscuits, like a regular cheddar biscuit that you would scoop out, put a little scampi sauce, bake it, and when it's done, hit it with some scampi sauce again.
Mm.
Now Red Lobster, though, has a box that you can, I think, make it. So that's – my friend gave it to me as a birthday gift, which was horrible. He buys stuff at Costco. Who the fuck goes – do you go to Costco?
Not really.
How could you go to Costco? He's got a family of three. What the fuck do you need in bulk like that?
No, that's just it.
Like, all I look at, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm a horrible person because all I look at that is I go, I got to eat fucking lobster biscuits forever for 6 months straight because otherwise it's going to dry out, you know?
Right.
I'm such
a dude. In order to save, 25 cents a biscuit.
Yeah, exactly. Americans will spend more than $700 million on Valentine's gifts for pets. Isn't that interesting? $700 million.
That's obscene.
For Valentine's gifts for pets.
Hang on 1 second. Let's do a quick show of hands. How many of those pet owners are actually women?
Ooh.
Because I'm pretty goddamn sure that it's not a bunch of straight guys who are just coming off the Super Bowl and go, oh, man, I got to get my dog a bow. For her hair.
This is not.
I don't think that's happening.
I think you're right.
I think.
But all it says is that's according to the National Retail Federation, and that's roughly double what we spend on Halloween costumes for pets, which is probably good. Surely your dog prefers a Valentine's snack to being dressed up in a ludicrous Madonna outfit, is what it says. That's their little attempt at humor, is what they did there. 1 in 5 women buy Valentine's gifts for themselves.
Mm.
I thought that was interesting, too. Data cited that the Society of American Florists indicates that while men are more likely to buy Valentine's gifts for their spouses, 63% of men versus 30% of women, the ladies are more inclined to buy for their moms, 30% versus 11% of men, friends, 19% versus 7% for men, and themselves, 19% versus 1%. I think I'm the responsible for 1% because I bought myself that box of chocolates.
I think so, too.
We all know this. Rose prices spike for Valentine's Day alone. The two people most responsible for modern-day Valentine's were entrepreneurs trying to make a buck. I love this. For centuries, Valentine's Day was a mashup of a wild Roman pagan festival known as Lupercalia. I don't know. That's a dead language. And the celebration of two Catholic saints, both named Valentine, who were executed on February 14th.
Awesome.
By the Middle Ages, it had become somewhat of a tradition to offer a handmade card or flowers to one's beloved. It wasn't until the mid-1800s, however, that it became popular to give mass-produced chocolates and Valentine's messages, and we have two business-minded visionaries to thank for this. First, there's Richard Cadbury, a member of the famous chocolate-making family that had been perfecting the bite-sized delectable, then known as eating chocolate. Cadbury had the brilliant idea of packaging and selling these chocolates in heart-shaped boxes for Valentine's Day, and the rest is history. Meanwhile, across the Atlantic, a Massachusetts woman named Esther Howland was building her reputation as the mother of the American Valentine for designing and popularizing high-quality lace paper Valentine's cards featuring messages of love and devotion. It was unusual at the time for a woman to run a business, yet Howland set up an all-female assembly line and kept the New England Valentine Company thriving for decades.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
See? Come on. I hope you guys like this. It's fun, right? Here's some. I also found some nice gift ideas. Sounds like you could use them.
Yes, I think so.
These are 5 Valentine's Day gifts if you want her to break up with you. Number one, the S&M teddy bear. The Vermont Teddy Bear Company has a 50 Shades of Grey teddy bear. Comes with a mask and a tiny pair of handcuffs while wearing a suit. That's what they have. For $89.99, you too can have a 50 Shades of Grey
That's
Vermont
just obscene.
Teddy bear. clearance sale lingerie. According to a survey conducted on behalf of offers.com, the top two items that women don't want to receive from their sweethearts are stuffed animals, presumably especially not stuffed animals that come with handcuffs, and lingerie. In a separate survey from BeFrugal.com, nearly 90% of women and 79% of men said it was okay to look for ways to save on Valentine's gifts. Candlelit White Castle, in what has become an annual tradition, the blue-collar mini burger chain White Castle is welcoming customers to enjoy a romantic evening with tableside service at select locations around the country on February 14th. Reservations are required. Dozens of Waffle House locations are
doing
the same
thing.
Hold on,
that White Castle thing was a no-no?
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
Luna would like that.
Oh, I bet.
Is there a White Castle out here?
No, no, that's all East Coast stuff.
That's what I thought.
Animal sex, this is my favorite. Animal sex lecture and dinner. On February 14th, the Detroit Zoo is hosting the fourth annual Love Gone Wild, a 3.5-hour long adult-only event that includes a champagne welcome drink, past hors d'oeuvres, a sit-down dinner, a commemorative gift, and most interestingly, a candid and entertaining look at how zoo animals do the wild thing, according to promotional materials.
Okay. I thought it was a 3.5-hour lecture about it. It's probably
you get to see a little
20-minute
lion
porno.
Porn
yeah.
is what you get. But here's the ticket on that. How much would you pay? You get champagne, hors d'oeuvres, dinner, complimentary gift, and you get to watch, let's bump it up to 30 minutes of animal porn.
I'm going to go with the number I didn't use last time. I'm going to say $135.
Ooh, so close. Now you went the wrong way. It's $85. $85.
All right.
Events focuses animal sex at the zoo, which ranges from prolonged public bouts of coitus to brief candlestine assignations. What the hell?
Assignation is I'm gonna look it up, but it's like a rendezvous. Yeah, you should probably check the calendar.
So that means that are they saying that people go there and then they try to go off in the zoo somewhere and bang it out?
No.
Oh, okay. We not only talk about sex, we name names, show pictures, and critique performance. This is another one I like. Vacant lot in Newark, New Jersey.
Appointment to meet someone in secret. Typically one made by lovers.
Oh, so that's they're going to meet in secret at the Detroit Zoo?
I thought they were saying that there are animals that plan to meet in secret and do it.
You know, I'm going to change my mind on this Detroit Zoo thing. I forgot it was in Detroit. That's like Thunderdome right now.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it would be a lot of fun, actually. So you get a vacant lot in Newark, New Jersey. Let's just say it's probably unwise to buy a vacant lot in Newark and promise to live on the property for 5 years without consulting your significant other. That goes even if the property is being sold for a mere $1,000, which is the special Lovebirds Valentine's Day offer on the table February 14th. Couples who are interested in any of the 1,000 available vacant lots should go to Newark City Hall on Saturday morning with a $500 down payment, as well as proof you and your partner can cover construction costs needed to make the property inhabitable within 18 months of closing.
Wow.
Can you imagine buying a vacant lot in New Jersey as a Valentine's gift? I love it. And then I thought this would be interesting, too, is that what are the most popular gifts? What would you say is the most popular gift for Valentine's
Day? Okay, so we're setting aside chocolate and flowers.
No, all of that's in there.
That's all that's
all of
back
it's
in.
On the table.
Then I'm going to go with flowers.
You are correct. 61% of women, or men, I'm sorry, purchase flowers on Valentine's Day, while only 15% of women do. What do you think is second?
Well, I'm going to go with chocolate.
No, greeting cards.
Oh, of course.
Greeting cards that come with it. And that's the one that 58% of women buy.
Right. They're making up for the fact that they're not buying the flowers.
Right. So they get a fucking $5 card. Meanwhile, it's easily, ladies who don't know,
$120
worth of roses. Chocolates and roses alone. 44% of men buy then third is 50% of women buy candy.
Yeah,
47%
I mean,
percent of
and
men
And that
buy
guy
candy.
Who had bought lingerie, and he bought the flowers, and he bought a card, and he was going to take her to dinner, and that you mentioned, and he wanted, what do you hope she gives you? And he said, well, vagina.
Yeah.
He should get to wear that as a hat.
Right.
For all the money he's spending.
I would rather do it as a breathing mask. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a feedback?
Like a CPAP. Or
Yeah, exactly. Like your sleep apnea thing.
Exactly. Luna, doctor's order.
Just saying.
Right.
It'll really help him sleep. It'll really help him sleep, Luna. All right. That's enough of my garbage about Valentine's Day and all of that
Did
stuff.
Did we lose that caller?
No, I don't. They're still there. It's got to be Sober Sam. Let's talk. Let's see what a young man. Well, maybe it's not. All right, caller, you're here. You're live. You're with us. You're on the air. Who is it?
Hi, Sam.
Hey, Sam. You know what, Sam? I appreciate that you never disappoint with your energy. I want to hearken back to anybody who's a hardcore listener and a big fan of Sober Sam, that in your podcast, which has not hit the airwaves, it's available at your MixLR channel, I'm assuming, or SoundCloud. Is that what you put it out on?
I don't know.
Sure. He's already moved on.
Right.
You pepped it up a little. I like that you have like a call-in character for this show. Because it was a lot of high energy, Sober Sam, with his friends, talking about banging around with chicks and stuff like that.
Right, they were jacked up.
Remind me of your age again, Sam.
17.
Okay, Sam, what do you do for Valentine's Day? Are you still in the, like, you go around desk to desk and give a little card, or what do you do?
Dude, I wish we still were around desk to desk, but I'd at least get something.
What's the matter, Sam? You got no lady in your life?
No.
Oh, Sam, are you okay? Do you need a digital hug?
No, thanks. I'm good.
You sure? You're good? Maybe this is why you don't have a lady. Maybe it's because you're a little cold shoulder. You're intimidating. You're standoffish. Maybe you got to open up. Make yourself vulnerable.
My shoulders are actually very warm right now.
Oh, why? Are you wearing a parka because it's in Michigan or Wisconsin?
No, it's snowing right now. It's awful outside.
Are you building any igloos lately?
No. The chickens haven't produced enough eggs.
Thanks. Thanks. Thanks for that one. Listen, Sam, I got Paco here for the pilot, okay? I'm gonna need you to find some other avenue of
You're stepping on my toes.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe some kind of audio slapstick stick or something along those lines. was there anything that you called in to specifically say, Sam, before I let you go?
Hi.
Okay. Well, you started to say something else. You said, hey, what else were you going to say, Sam?
I think that's it.
All right.
All right. Message received.
Sam, please never stop calling again. I'm a big fan. I'll wait till hate mail starts coming in, but I think the listeners love you too. So have a wonderful Valentine's Day. I hope that your world becomes fortune cookie-esque and a lovely young teenage. You know what? Let's screw teenage. Here's what I hope.
Fortune cookie-esque.
What I'm saying is that like you open a fortune cookie and sometimes it has a little sentence and it makes sense to what you're either you desire secretly or it seems like it's just what you need, you know?
Yeah.
Like for instance, mine said someone is going to present you with a wonderful gift this weekend, which is hopefully my wife's vagina.
Oh, yeah, gift.
Exactly. Paco has one that he keeps in his phone that says never quit with a question mark. I'm not sure why it has a question mark.
No, it's an exclamation mark.
Oh, you never quit. That's an aggressive Chinese. That's what I thought it had. Yeah. I was like, never quit?
Yeah.
Never quit? I don't know. You come to Chinese buffet. I assume that don't quit. So I'm saying that it all works out. You have some kind of rom-com-esque situation. And I was going to say that a lady of your age, but here's what I wish upon you with my magical internet celebrity warlock powers. I want Sober Sam to arrive in the news because some 24, maybe 20, I'll go as high as 28-year-old, you know, chemistry teacher decides to start sexting you. You know what I mean?
Right on.
No, I don't know what you
do. Do you have any female teachers, Sam, is what I'm asking?
Yeah, I have one. She's a bitch.
Perfect. That's the one. She's playing hard to get, Sam. Go get her. The heart wants what the heart wants. You understand what I'm saying to you, Sam?
I got you.
Thanks for calling in. I'll talk to you later, my friend. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Nikki just said in the chat, how old is Sam? He's 17. So I don't know if that makes me – if it's live.
Can you imagine how little energy he's going to have when he's old?
Oh, my gosh, right? Maybe it picks up. Maybe that's just the pot that he's always smoking.
Maybe.
You know? I don't know. All right, let's – wow, we already – wow. Is that right? Holy crap, we are smoking through this show. We did a lot. So let's check in with you, Paco. What's going on? I got something here that says the grind.
Oh, yeah. Let me just dear God.
I can read it to you.
No, it's okay.
Or you have teacher notes in there.
No, it's all right. I have the same thing you have this time. But just, you know, the daily thing of it all. You get up and you go to school. And, you know, now that Luna is not, you know, clocking in anywhere every day. It's just like one endless weekend. I mean, occasionally.
Are you getting Sober Sam on us right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you trying to? let's just backpedal.
Yeah, all right.
I know this is about you, but
never really
is. But then you are complaining.
I think I broke a record in terms of getting into, hey, how are you doing, before I was interrupted. It was.
But I got to stop you. You have to understand is that what you're saying is that it's like, oh, it's like one endless weekend. That's what you just said. Am I misunderstanding? Am I misinterpreting? Oh, my wife is here with me. Oh, I have all this help. Oh, the grind is what he said in his show notes, listeners. He calls this the grind.
So listen,
that's what you said, right?
Yes, I did. But you have to understand that that Chad has homework 7 days a week, and it's just he gets it all done, but he does it in his own time and his own way. So it's just this. Oh, never mind. You're just gonna make fun of everything
I
say.
I'm not.
It's just look. It's not when we pictured Luna being off work and being at home. We didn't picture that the house was going to be quite as full as it is.
Okay.
And that there would be more time to be a couple and connect in, not sort of, as it's turned out, in the trenches, sort of battling to get our family back to an even keel.
In my defense, though, you did open by saying,
yes.
It's like one long weekend, one endless weekend.
Right. I don't think I said endless.
I think you did. We'll have to. We can't play
check
back.
The tape.
Check the tape. I look forward to this. Maybe somebody in the chat room said, you said endless. Yeah, somebody already said in the chat room, because I'm making that up, you said endless.
Oh, my God. Now we are going to check this tape, you motherfuckers. You're all wrong. Because I was talking
kidding.
About.
Nobody said that.
No
That's
one said anything.
Me.
Right. Okay, fine. No, because I was using the idea of a long weekend. Sometimes you get a 3-day weekend or a 4-day weekend, and you kind of lose
who's
track.
Miserable about that?
Someone who wants to be left alone. No. Okay, so it's just all of us being boxed in together, man. We're always just there when the dog's on top of us and nobody's going anywhere or doing anything. In any case, Luna lost her mind this weekend on a
she threw a cup?
She didn't throw any cups. She just went.
Not losing her mind.
I'm leaving, and she got in the car, and she drove out, and she got
she
herself.
Ripcorded.
She ripcorded.
She's
yep.
like, I'm out.
Yep. And she
drop
was gone.
The mic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the feedback, the clunk, and the feedback. And she, I think she went and got some food somewhere, and she went to a movie somewhere, and she was just off the radar, and she just had an ass full, I think, of me, but also of, you know, the kids.
Yeah.
The one of them.
And just wanted to be by herself.
And just wanted to have. Yeah, and we had a. She and I had a little dust up on her way out the door as she was headed out the door, because. You know, there's only so much getting along you can do, and eventually we hit the wall on that. So it had been, yeah, I thought we had a good run there. It had been a couple of weeks, a month or so, where we hadn't exchanged any unkind words with one another.
But it can't, here's the thing. It doesn't get really heated, I would imagine.
Well.
Because, like, if I have a fight, I don't really have huge fights with Natalie. It's
right,
more,
you save it for the kids.
I do. Yeah. No, here's the thing. I am, I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I am the eternal asshole in my house.
Okay.
I don't understand it. I don't know why everybody can't just get on board
right.
with what I'm trying to do. It makes everything so much easier for everyone, not just me.
Not just you.
But it's like, for instance, my wife, I was talking about this with my friend the other night, and my wife likes to, when the kids take a bath, she gives them toys and makes it an experience.
Oh, right. You were saying even on the podcast, you're like, hey, it's a party. Throw everything in there. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it's like they look like they're in that trash compactor scene in Star Wars, where there's just garbage around, you know, and I'm like, and I just said, I go, you know, like, I think that this is part of the reason why I've had a huge issue with Jack throwing a fit. I had another one where 45 minutes this kid was screaming, I don't want to take a bath. I don't want to take a bath. Let me just say, I did not. There was lots of drama in my discipline. Let me put it in that way. I failed Dr. Tina Payne Bryson tremendously. And I did not lose my cool. I did not throw a cup.
Right.
I did lose my cool. I apologize for lying. I did go, you know what? Screw it. And I put him in his bed. I said, I go, and I kind of, this. I have to vent.
Yeah.
I have to talk things out. So I had to say, I go, I don't know why you have to do this every day. I don't, I don't get it. I go, I would love to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to help you through what you're feeling. But if you don't listen to me, I can't help you.
Yes.
You know, and so he just, I don't want to take him out. I don't want to. He's like Rain Man on me, kind of, you know? Like,
yeah.
So it went on for 45 minutes. And so then I told her, I said, you know, when you make bath an event and fun and all this stuff,
yeah.
then when I just clean him like right. you're supposed to, now yes. I'm a dick. You know what I mean? They, uh-huh. He doesn't want to do it with me.
Have you considered making bath a little bit more fun?
Fuck that. No way. That's not... Because this is her point. Her point right. is they'll have memories of that, you know, yes. playing
well,
in
Well, no,
bath.
You're making memories, too.
Yeah. Good ones.
Yeah.
To say, get your shit together and get it done.
Right.
That's what I explained to her. I said, well, why can't you build memories with things that build life skills? Bathing does not build a life skill.
Well, when you've got a couple of teenagers who don't want to bathe, you come back and talk to me. It's a life skill.
Well, I'm not saying that they cannot bathe. I'm just saying that here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that bathing should be like sleeping. It should not. It should be a function of life. It should yeah. not be an event. It should. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I'm trying to have like an American Russia is what I think I'm trying to do here. I'm saying if you want it, like I said, she goes, well, I go, you could go play with the cars. You build these little ramps and stuff. I go, that's cool. I said, that's spatial awareness and problem solving, and they're connecting things and right. designing something.
Right.
I said, there's a life skill, and it's building aptitude. Bathing and having fucking old Easter eggs and a fucking Happy Meal, like, bullshit yeah, toy right. floating next to them. That's not building a life skill. Arguing right. over who gets to sit next to the spigot or not, like... That just seems like horseshit to me.
Right, right.
And I go, and when I do
Which is
it,
really just arguing about who's going to hit their head on the spigot.
Exactly. Yeah. Who wants to get concussed first? Right. I want to drink out of a straw for the rest of my life. You right. don't get to. I'm sorry, I interrupted
A bendy
your time
straw.
Again.
That's all right. As you were talking, I realized I had no idea what I was talking about or how you got into that.
You were talking about you got a little dust up as Luna was leaving.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So anyway, so that preceded it. So I may have been an aggravating factor, aggravating being the operative word. There. And
I like that. That's also the difference between you and me. You say we had a dust up and end it with saying I was probably aggravating her. Me, every time I describe it, like if everybody else wasn't stupid,
right? Yeah.
This would be so much easier for my family.
Right. Right. And then also, this is also part of the grind is just Diego. Gosh, that he's a junior now, second semester, junior year. By the middle of his sophomore year, that the AP Euro European History class that he was taking, the AP European History class that he was taking, had broken his spirit. I had seen this young, excited scholar for 3, 4, 5 years always want to get a harder class and work harder and do more, and just the demands of that class and the sort of lack of teaching skills of that particular teacher. Just broke his spirit.
No, I think he's seen the boobs in a tight shirt.
Oh, maybe that was it,
I think
too.
that's what did it for me.
Because he comes home and he used to come home and he would do homework for hours. And now he comes home and he just sort of just vegges out and he can't get focused and he can't get started. And
I used to be in gate classes when I started, gifted oh, yeah. classes when I started high school. And it took me until my sophomore year to look around and realize I'm working way harder than everyone else, and for what? Like that was the way I processed it.
Well, he did take last year. He had an honors English class, and this year he took the regular English class because he was trying to sort of balance out his workload a little bit. And he said today that that's a horrible class. He said I don't want to have to do the work that's involved, like the intense
so
workload in the harder class. But he's like, this is just, it's embarrassing to sit there and hear kids try to read out loud
when they
can't do it.
Oh.
And they lie, they say they forgot their
senior?
Books. He's a junior.
Oh, my God.
Says they lie, they forgot their books, or they, every time she turns around, they're whipping out their phones. He's just, they're fucking off. They're not, and he's like, it's just a misery to sit there with these people.
Is Edward James almost teaching this class? What is going on in this class?
I don't know.
Is that one class held in Compton? What is
right,
we're in Burbank?
I don't know.
What,
no.
What kids
no,
can't read
it's,
in Burbank?
It's not. It's just like he's like, there's like basic words in there and they're stumbling over them and they can't say them. I mean, I don't want to go too much further down this road for yeah. fear of upsetting you. But
really?
No. Just
well, what could possibly upset me?
He's saying the vocabulary of these other students is wanting.
So you're saying that I would take offense to that?
Yeah, that you would identify with these.
I don't give a shit what that kid. When he has, when he pays more in taxes with me, then
oh,
we have a competition.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I got you. I got you. So, nothing really. That's just that's the grind. is everyone is just sort of getting burnt out on whatever their own thing is. And so on. And then I did come to a decision. I saying this out loud is going to lock me into it in a way that makes me very nervous.
Here we go.
and I'm not going to name the actual thing because I want to know more about it. And that's where some of my show prep
fell down. You're already backpedaling on your lock-in.
No. I'm going to lock in. All right. September, I'm going to participate in an event that will require me to, over the course of 2 days, walk about 40 miles.
You're going to walk 40 miles in 2 days?
A fundraising event, yes.
Is it a jogathon at the elementary school?
There's no jogging involved. It's just straight out walking.
Walking.
Yeah.
And is it like a Fitbit type event or something?
Nope.
How does it?
Look, I'll just say, but I don't know as much as I should, so I'll mention it now, but I'll revisit this more than once.
Okay, we don't have to. Between now and
September.
I don't want to pry.
But I think
I'm not
Avon.
Brian Williams here. Just trying to.
Avon39.org. It's a fight against breast cancer, and over the course of 2 days, you walk 39 miles. It's being held in this particular event is in Santa Barbara, and mostly I'm just doing it to get the fuck away from the kids and Luna, if I can, for 2 days.
All helping for the breast cancer. That's icing on the cake.
I'm not even going to walk. I'm just going to go to Santa Barbara for the weekend. We've already determined
stay
she can't.
Stay at a Best Western.
Yeah, she can't. Oh, fuck that. I'll stay at
Best.
We're
hunkering down. Adam's leaving again. He's walking for breast cancer. He's a hero.
We're doing our part. No, I'm excited about the idea. I was thinking last year I did a series of 5Ks, and then at one point I did not the 10K. I did the quarter marathon, which I think is a bullshit term, but I always point it out anyway. It's an extra 50 feet than saying you did a 10K. It's just this tiny amount of distance. But I was thinking back about that, and that was a jogging-type situation with the very loosest definition of the word jogging. And I hated every single step I took in it. I'm sure I talked about it a little bit here. There was the guy behind me slow-rolling the big truck, picking up the pylons behind me. You know, it was just humiliating to be that much of the last person that they're trying to clear the streets for you.
I feel like just to make that guy laugh, that I would just hang a hard right and just go off the track at some point to see what he would do.
Like, yeah. So I'm sure he was laughing enough. But in any case, thinking back about I was miserable while I was doing it, but I actually did have a real sense of accomplishment and pride when I was done. And I thought, I ain't going to do that again. Fuck that. But I thought, you know what? This sounds intriguing. It feels like something I can do and that I won't be as miserable because
I just
enjoy walking a lot more. And so I need to do a lot of walking and I need to be thinner because I think it's going to help a lot if I don't weigh quite as much when I do it.
Yeah, but walking, come on, walking for 40 minutes. You like it. You love it. You'll be fine. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, 20 miles a day is a lot. on a day or here where I'm not trying, I do about 5.
Uh-huh.
I do about 5 miles of.
And how long does that take you, can I ask?
No, I just mean literally pedometer wise.
Yeah,
you get up from the day, from the beginning of the day
so
to the end
like
of the day.
So not like a walk, it's just.
Yeah, I'll do like a 3 mile walk. Usually takes me a little more than an hour.
Yeah.
If I'm just farting around.
I don't know. That math doesn't. Okay, listen.
What?
I'm here for you.
I don't know what.
No, I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm saying that how could you walk 20 if it's 3 miles in an hour?
Yeah, something like that. Let's say 20 minutes.
So you're going to do so only 7 hours,
right?
Of walking
plus a meal break and a couple of bathroom breaks along the way.
No, you'll just sweat it out. You don't got to pee. There'll be no waste coming out.
I have to pee every 10 minutes.
Do you wish we take a break?
No, I'm all right. I was already thinking about that on the way over here. I'm like, what if I have to pee? You got people in there. I was like, I'll pee in the yard. It's dark as hell out there.
I appreciate that.
You're quite welcome.
All right, before we run out of time, I want to, because you have here on the notes, is the episode 130. It's the same thing that Jazzercise Tanya, or Tana, I keep saying Tanya.
Yeah.
The parents as friends. You said you had some recovered memories, or?
Well, I had remembered since we did that, when I was listening to the episode back again, and honestly, I had a bunch of reactions. I was driving the car, and I went, I got it, and then I've forgotten most of them. So I may bring this up yet another time. But in this one case, thank you. The consummate professional.
I just like that your setup is. I had lots of great ideas. None of them will be heard right now.
No,
I had lots of thoughts.
No, but one of them was, no, listen, this is for
I'm
you.
I'm going to save those for another day. But I still want to cover 10 minutes of it.
No. This is for you. This is for you.
All right. Got it.
I had a sudden recollection, vividly, particularly with regards to Chad.
Uh-huh.
And a little bit with Diego as well. That the kind of negotiating you were talking about doing last time was something I had actually tried to one extent or another in the following manner. If you do X, then XYZ.
Yeah.
And the XYZ is a reward of some kind.
Yes.
It doesn't matter whether it's a reward or whether it's a punishment. Mm-hmm. And what I realized after banging my head against that kind of negotiation for many, many months is that they just don't understand the if-then mechanism. It's not part of their thinking. So I'd go, if you yell like that again, you're going to get sent to your room. And it seemed almost as though it was interpreted as a request from me that they do the thing that they weren't supposed to do.
Yes.
That somehow the if part of it doesn't like register that there's no conditional. And then if it's a reward situation, all they focus on was the rewarded part of the statement,
right,
and not the part of the behavior part of the statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, like, oh my God, he's doing if then, and it doesn't work for him either. So stop doing
well,
that.
Well, here's the thing. It works, but it takes the repetition. Like, I'll use the example of, here's what I have found works with my guys in my method is,
yeah,
I take three
baths.
Yes.
Exempted.
Exempt. No bathing.
Right.
Just no expectation whatsoever. I found really has lowered the disciplinary needs in my house. No, right. What it is that I have to maintain calm. As long as I maintain a level of calm,
okay,
then I'm fine, especially with Jack. Jacob always gets it. Jacob never, like I say, if you do this, then this will happen. It does not eliminate the behavior.
Right.
But he gets it. Like, for it's like, what's the thing where he had a thing where he wouldn't sit on his butt at the table. So I would say nicely, I would say, sit on your butt. And then I started going, okay, there are no more warnings. There is, here's what's going to happen. I come into the room, I see you not sitting on your butt, you lose video games because he loves video games.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just because I respect her so much, not what Tina Bryson said, Dr. Tina Payne Bryson, doctor, very important.
Yes.
Some college is what I could put on an application.
Right.
Doctor is right. What she can put on everything, yes, on her Twitter account.
Right.
But it seems, I'm trying to process it is my point. I'm trying to figure out a different way, but this way works for me and it makes sense to me. So I would take it away. And then here's what would happen. The first time I did it, he got upset. But the second time I did it, he just went, yep.
Oh, okay.
He kind of was like, okay. And I said, and when that moment happens and I know he's getting it,
yeah,
I loosen up and I say, are you okay? And he goes, yeah. What are you thinking? He's like, I didn't sit on my butt. So now I can't play video games.
Right.
And so I go, okay. I said, but you understand what I'm trying to do here? And he was like, yeah. Yeah. He goes, I'm not listening. I go, all right. Now, Jack, he's only three, but you could see a difference in that child. That child.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it is literally, like, I feel like I'm doing Nazi-level mind games on a prisoner at war with that child, where he is just looking me dead in the eye and just wants to do the opposite. And I hate it. Deep down
now,
inside.
Who's doing the mind games on who, though, I wonder?
I'm doing the mind.
No, I think he may be working you.
He's trying, but he's losing. That's all the right. Problem. Is that, here's the thing. I feel like I don't want to break his spirit. I don't want to break his rebellious ways because I love that. I love that about both of my kids have their own version of rebellion. My Jacob's thing is, I don't like to do what you want me to do unless I think it makes sense, which I love.
Yeah.
I love the idea of challenging authority. I love the idea of saying, like, go fuck yourself if I don't like what you're doing. I like that.
Right.
I don't like it when he does it to me. And it's the same thing with Jack, is that it's really the pain that I feel is that my fear is that I don't want to break him like a horse. I don't want to saddle him.
Right.
What I want him to be is I want him to be that old mutt dog that only likes your uncle. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like the one you have, like a group of dogs that live. Maybe I grew up around a lot of farms.
Yeah,
you always have like four or five dogs that are hanging around. And there's always that one old dog They won't let you pet him. It's just like, get the fuck away from me. Like, oh, he shows you his teeth when you back him into a corner.
Right.
And when you're a kid, that's the dog you really want to pet, but he only likes Uncle Pete. You know what I mean? Like, that's... I want to be Uncle Pete and him to be the old dog. I want him to only listen to me.
Right.
Until he, you know, and then, but everybody else he could tell to fuck off.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Good luck with that.
I think it'll work. I think it'll work with my dad. I mean, but here's the thing. I remember, I should have more conversations with how much I listen. My dad is very kind, at least thus far in the limited conversations I've had, and said that, yeah, you always listen really well. I never really had that many problems. Because I have, there's stories of my stepmom being angry, like he left a date with her to bring me a toy that I forgot at home.
Yeah, you talked about that, I think.
And I was like, that does not sound like the father I know.
No.
I said, why would you do that? He goes, hey, you were a good kid. Like, you know, why would I not want to do something nice for a good kid? Like,
right.
He goes, you weren't really bad. So, I don't know. We'll see, though. That's the great thing about podcasts.
That's true.
This lives forever. And then we could all
we'll go back.
We could all have people email this to me and say, listen this, fucker. You know, like,
see?
Remember when you thought you had – and but the, also the good part about it is that – When my kids are awesome and whatever, I don't know what awesome kids do, but whenever that's happening, then I could say, see, that worked.
Exactly.
And then I tell Tina Bryson to fuck herself. Hell no, that'll never happen.
She's got that coming.
That's okay.
The other thing I wanted to say is I talked about, I was listening to our episode 130 where we talked about this friend versus whatever with your kids as I was on my way to therapy.
Hmm.
And when I got there, I was I had just listened to us talking about that particular part of it. And so I was sharing some of that with my doctor. My lady doctor.
Oh.
Now, that came out wrong. I don't have a lady doctor.
Everybody, scratch that.
She is a woman, but it made it sound like
she is a woman. Okay.
Gynecologist.
Oh, no. Okay. Gotcha.
No, okay. Oh, my God. And so, anyway, I was at some length describing your style and my style. She's familiar with my style, but and then she went punitive versus permissive parenting. Oh. So she like immediately gave it a name.
I'm punitive.
You're punitive,
and you're permissive.
I'm permissive.
Did she weigh in? Did she say Justin is wrong and you're right?
I'm not going to answer that question.
What?
I did say
that you're going to be fucking.
I said it's not. I said
confidentiality.
She said there's been a great deal of research on this matter.
Yeah,
and I said, oh, that's cool. I'll look something up. And I said, I mean, not that it's a contest between the two of us,
no.
and you know, just to give it a shortcut for me.
The reason I ask is because there are lots of moments. It's a weird thing. There's a part of my brain that says, oh, this is not good. But everything in my gut says this is the way to go.
Well, everything in your gut is telling you that because that's how you were raised.
Yes.
And that's how you learned to speak English because you heard those people speaking English.
Right.
You learned how to have your relationship with your wife by watching by the combination of your relationship with your mother and his relationship with your mother or other women. And parenting. All these things you were imprinted on you before you could even speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're fighting like evolution and all this other stuff in the same way we, you know, in the olden days, we would have learned how to hunt and fish and do all these things, you know, when we were very young, just from watching it all happen.
I laugh because this very day when I was walking to pick Jacob up, sometimes I think about what I want my kids to be able to know
that
either I know or don't know.
Yeah.
And I had this idea that I go, like, for some reason, I just had a flashback of an interview that Jesse the Body Ventura did because he used to be in the Navy SEALs. And then he took his kids out and, like, they bivouacked or whatever the hell you'd call it in a swamp and they just lived off the land. I'm like, I should take my kids to go do that. Like, take them out for a month.
Right.
And just live off,
right.
Like, fucking eat slugs and be like a real man. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he had some training, the thing.
I watch a YouTube
training.
I watch a YouTube video, 10 minutes. I could go out and be a Navy SEAL with my kids.
That sounds like a movie right there.
Power bars, that's all I need.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's what I kept. I was chuckling to myself going, now you're going to be the asshole on the news where it's like, idiot suburban father takes his child to the Mojave Desert.
Right.
Both of them are dehydrated and recovering at St. Joseph's Burbank Hospital.
He didn't realize he wouldn't have cell phone reception, so he couldn't Google.
All he kept saying was, Jesse the Body said it would be fine. we have a caller. Let's see what this caller has to say.
All right.
406 area code.
As you say hello,
yeah.
The doctor's response was, drum roll.
Oh.
The doctor's response was, permissive has shown to be a more effective approach.
That's bullshit. You gotta find a new therapist.
In any case, I've been looking it up a little bit and have some articles, but there's no time today. But
okay. Well, we'll revisit that then.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, 406, what's your name?
Chris.
Hey, Chris, how are you? You okay? You sound down.
I don't know. I'm just sitting by myself in a hotel room listening to you guys talk forever.
Is this,
hang on, I haven't been talking forever.
Why? See, everybody's got to take pot shots at me. Even this fucking therapist is coming after me now, Chris. Is this fantasy football, Chris?
Yep.
Hey, how's it going, sir? Why are you in a hotel somewhere?
I work.
Good answer, Chris. Thank you. Appreciate it.
He went to the Sober Sam School of Broadcasting.
Exactly.
I did, yeah. More is left.
I think I've met you, Chris. We met at Des Moines at the Funny Bone. Is that correct? You and your lovely bride?
Yes.
All right, good. So I want to make sure I have the right face with the name and everything. So what did you call to say? Or do you want to weigh in on this friend versus permissive versus punitive?
Well, I'm definitely more punitive.
Punitive. All right.
On this punitive side of things. But, you know, part of the reason I called in is because this.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
And now we're recording. With you for a second. So you said one of the reasons you called in.
Oh, the stupid hotel internet was so bad that I just thought I'd call in and listen on the
That's funny. That's funny.
I thought I waited long enough that I wanted to actually pick up, but you did. So now
you know, what's funny is that I saw your number. I go, oh, my gosh, I almost did the thing where I forget because we took a call early, and then now they're sitting there, and I was so proud of myself for noticing. And then, of course, this is the time. Because we're punitive parents, I'm going to find a way to punish you, Chris. And I haven't figured out exactly why, but what I can tell you. You don't know when it will happen. You don't know what it will be, but it will happen. Good luck sleeping with that, my friend, in whatever uncomfortable hotel bed you're in. All right, well, I'm going to let you go, but I'm not going to hang up on you so you can continue listening at 3 cents a minute. Thank you, Chris.
Oh, unlimited phone. All
right. I hope I didn't hang up on him. No, I didn't. Okay, good. He's back in there. All right. So
anyway, that was all punitive versus permissive, and they each have their. I think in the end, it's probably a combination of multiple styles that would end up being more effective than any other. But just off the one little survey I saw, doesn't go in my favor.
Oh, really?
It says with permissive.
I totally honestly, and all kidding aside.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, I thought every person, honestly, I thought every person except for a few people that listened to the show, a la Chris, would be like, that's the way to go. If anything online, anything a doctor would say, anything.
Right. Here it says, from a recent study, but it doesn't cite the study, or it does, but it's in a footnote, and I'm not going to look at that.
Okay.
It says, the teens least prone to heavy drinking had parents who scored high on both accountability and warmth. Punitive would be accountability.
Okay.
Warmth would be permissive.
But
so-called...
Oh, sorry.
Indulgent parents, those who are low on accountability and high, low on accountability and high on warmth. That would be me. Those teens nearly tripled the risk of participating in heavy drinking.
Really?
And then strict parents or authoritarian parents, high on accountability and low on warmth, more than doubled the teens' risk of heavy drinking. So you've got me beat out. I'm three times more likely. You're twice as likely.
Oh, okay. But every teen is drinking. Well, that's what I don't understand. It's like,
well, here
it's not like, hey, if you do this, he's just going to drink a little less.
Right. Here it says the first one is
three times of the numbers of teens.
Yeah,
I see.
Here
okay.
it is. The teens least prone to heavy drinking had parents who were a little bit of both.
Right.
And then everyone else was off the charts drunk. Yeah, it does. They do make it sound as though, okay, every child is going to be a souse.
I was doing the math this way, that it's like, if you're low on accountability, high on warmth, he's going to have three beers.
Right.
But if you are high on accountability and low on warmth, he's only going to have two beers.
Right.
Like, that's what
yeah,
I heard.
Right.
But it's actually the numbers of teams because I'm
think
a dumbass.
So. I think so. It's not the amount of booze they're actually
yeah,
drinking.
Exactly. I thought every kid is drinking.
Right.
But so if you yell at them,
yeah,
they're going to drink just a couple beers and
right,
they're going to know their limits.
Yeah. And so, some of what I was sort of seeing was that with the permissive, essentially letting them choose their path and not punishing them for making their own choices and their
yeah,
own mistakes, that you end up with they're just not people who aren't as focused and aren't
right,
as
That's my only – and I don't think
yeah,
this is you, but
no,
it's like I think we all have our – like I said when we did the episode, I think
yeah,
we have our perspective. And my perspective is that I have people within my family – that have just kind of sheltered, I guess is the best way I could say it, and
yeah,
said, let me protect you from everything that could hurt or make things hard.
Right.
And there was no – and I think that that is nice. There has to be a balance. I do think
– yeah.
I think if I was to truly assess my parenting is that I would say that I am not void of warmth,
yeah,
but I think it's probably 70% – of accountability and, you know, 30% warmth or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
in that, this is where my therapist commented is that, but he talked about my dad where he said that love wasn't a condition. It was just something that was given. Like when he talked about my wife's household.
Right.
Whereas
right,
he says that love in my house was conditional upon whether or not I was doing what I was supposed to. And I don't think I withhold love from them. I think that I don't tell them they're doing a good job unless they're doing a good job.
Like, okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if he does, like I've done homework with Jacob and he decides he's just going to lose his mind and throw a fit and
yeah,
say, I
yeah,
can't do it.
Right.
And I could see it. I could see that I'm like, okay, sometimes it's that he's a little tired.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's that this is him trying to not have to do this because he really
yeah,
just wants to play video games. And I
yeah,
tell him, I say, well, here's how it works. I said, you could get it done
mm-hmm,
and feel good. And then after you get it all done, or you can sit here and cry, and then it's just going to take longer to get it done.
Right.
So you have to decide. Do you want to be smart and get it done? Or
right,
do you want it to take forever? You know? And when I hear myself say that to me, I think of things like, you know, your therapist going, I don't know. You know,
like, well, and she's not even really like that. She's not going to. She'll just,
no, I don't
she'll
care,
just not.
I'm not judging her. Mm-hmm.
She's judging you, though.
She should. She's licensed to do so. That's her job.
She'd be letting us down if she didn't.
Rachel told me that she logged 3,000 hours plus to be able to do that. So I've now learned that
right,
from her.
Right.
Well, I look forward to
yeah, I'll
it,
come back with being a little better educated. And there are other styles. There's the neglectful is an option. Neglectful parenting.
That's also one of mine.
Yeah, I'll look at that. It was just kind of weird and interesting to read and go, oh my God, that's us. That's me.
Yeah.
That's me. That's me. And just see this list of behaviors and go, I am completely fitting into this category. There may be other descriptions in other categories, I'm sure. Because I'm not always.
It's like the Myers-Briggs of parenting. There's all these different quadrants that you fit
right,
in based
yeah,
on
yeah,
ideas
yeah,
and
exactly,
questions and stuff.
So anyway, that's it for now. But
all right, well, let's do a little pick a flick. What do you say?
Yeah.
Pick a flick. It's time for Paco and his pick a flick. Well, he's been on another movie kick. So listen quick, is it a hit or shitter? Should you book a sitter, pick a flick? It's time for you to find out just what you should see. But he won't cheer and sing, cause he hates everything. It's time for Paco's pick a flick.
All right, Paco, hit us with what's going on. You're on a Oscar nomination run.
Yeah, I'm still running down these Oscar.
I'm dying for Birdman to come out.
You mean to be able to see it in your home?
Yeah.
As opposed to being in theaters.
Oh, it's back in theaters though. That's right.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure
they
you can
announced
find
that
it.
It's re-released, so I could go see it there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think. I mean, generally speaking, it's a lot of talking, but I think you might benefit from seeing it in a.
In a movie
on
theater?
A big screen, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, so here we go.
Ooh, Nikki in the chat room says that Paco should see 50 Shades of Grey on Valentine's Day as a pick a flick.
Ooh, that's asking a lot. I'll see if I can get Luna. Maybe she doesn't have to come.
Why would you not take her? Oh, what if it gets her all riled up?
We're trying to do this, always have a parent at home lately, so we're not doing a lot of dating. We may not be able to take it. Yeah, we may during one of Chad's school days where he goes in for an hour or so, we may have a quick Valentine's Day thing there. But in any case.
And you want to spend that with 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do you think Luna would be into it?
I can't remember now whether she read the book, looked at the book, did something to do with the book.
No, she didn't read the book. I'm wondering if she would be into that kind of movie.
Sensual. I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head, although she's been known to read some light erotica, you know, in her day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to kill my children so that they never hear this.
Why would that happen?
Because they'll be so disgusted they'll never be able to get erections again.
They will not. I can literally hear my parents having sex down the hall, and it never like disgusted me.
Right.
It annoyed me because I wanted to sleep and not listen to my mom moaning. But still,
it annoyed you because you wanted to join in. Let's just get deep.
How dare you?
Let's go look deep.
I was talking about a beautiful sensual situation between two consenting adults,
and I made it creepy.
And you made it incestual, and you mock me for talking about watching my wife in her beautiful body, having water drizzle down it and soap in particular places, and I'm creepy.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
It's a great episode.
It's
one of my favorites.
I have done what every good son and American should do, which is to block out my memories of my parents having sex.
Got it.
You are cherishing it, and so that's what makes it wrong.
They loved each other.
I'm sure they did. All right, so here's the thing. Recap. We've talked about Whiplash, which I really liked a lot. American Sniper, which I did not really like a lot. Birdman, which I liked well enough, but not as much as Whiplash. What does that stand for?
Imagination Game? I gotta figure out your fucking shorthand.
Thank you. Imagination Game, which I thought was a misfire, but it was solidly made, but who cares?
Theory of Everything?
Theory of Everything, which I liked probably not quite as much as Birdman. And
Boyhood is what that left.
Yeah, Boyhood. Thank you. Which we all know how I felt about that. So for me, at that point, up to that point, Whiplash is the one I would say I would like to see them get it, but they are almost certainly not going to. From the list so far, I would say
Boyhood is going to win.
Is most likely, and I'm going to be vomiting.
Oh.
So you can all be aware of that. What I did go and have seen some time ago.
Somebody just made the Oscars more entertaining.
Yes. Is the, listen, you can all imagine the following. When you watch it and it happens and they go, and the Oscar goes to Richard Linklater at Boyhood. You know how they added in that?
That'll be you.
No, I was going to say how Lucas went back in and gave Darth Vader a no. That's what it's going to be. You can all hear that echoing through the land. The Grand Budapest Hotel.
I'm in the middle of watching that.
Oh, are you?
I'm watching it like I'm reading it as a book. Because my wife
That's
hates those kind of movies.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
so I have
understand.
To, I'm like, while she's in the shower.
When you say those
when I'm
kind
not
of...
watching her, I'm watching that.
When you say those kind of movies, what do you mean?
Artsy movies. She doesn't like the...
Or not just Wes Anderson in particular.
Well, there was a moment where she goes, oh, that's funny. And when he gave his acceptance speech at the Golden Globe, she goes, oh, that's funny. And I'm like, oh, maybe she'd like... No, she doesn't like...
No. Okay, that's fine. And so there'll be no spoilers here. I really enjoyed that movie. By and large, his earlier work, I'd say the first six movies he made, including Rushmore and even the Tannenbaums, the Royal Tannenbaums. I wasn't really nuts about those, but around the time he went into the Fantastic Mr. Fox, I really started to enjoy his work a great deal. And generally speaking, I thought this movie was charming and entertaining throughout, and I enjoyed it a great deal. This is the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh.
But I don't think at the end of the day, I think maybe director, maybe best director there.
Okay.
Because it's this world is created and it's just this everything is tight and whatever. So that's my sad review today of the Grand Budapest Hotel. It's got, you know, he has a company of actors he uses. So you see, you know, I think Bill Murray is in there. You see F. Murray Abraham. A lot of guys with the name Murray appear in it. Jonathan Schwartz, if that's the guy's name. And on and on. And who's the Fiennes? Ralph Fiennes. Is in it as well. So there's a lot of, you know, great actors and having fun and
oh, yeah,
doing
it's
neat
a fun,
little
fun
stuff.
Movie, the
and
it's just, but I've seen,
yeah, just that whole world. It's not our world, but it's recognizable and it's always self-contained and really cool. And so I liked it a lot. And I think maybe best director for him, but again, he won't get that. That will go to Richard Linklater. So you can go. Yes, I will save the vomiting for the directing
Maybe
award.
We go after some old Linklater movies and provide some commentary for them. Maybe
possibly.
He's the new Basalt.
Maybe.
All Richard Linklater.
true enough. And coming soon to a pick a flick near you will be Selma, which I haven't seen yet, and I don't relish the thought of doing since I don't think it's going to.
I wish I had I have this Arlie Ermey, but I want the, there is no racial bigotry here.
Okay.
That's what I wanted for that.
Yeah, it's not about racial bigotry. I just sort of feel like whatever.
Thank you for not disappointing.
You're quite welcome. And as far as
I feel like whatever.
As far as rental
film review or whatever.
Rental recommendations goes, I'd say go check out Moonrise Kingdom, which is another one by Wes Anderson, which is very sweet and good for the whole family, really, but certainly adults can watch it. And and then The Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I think is a good thing to watch with the whole family, and just a terrific little movie. Given its source material, I feel it really honors the charm of the book, but obviously goes well beyond what is held inside that book in terms of inventiveness and just some really terrific vocal performances there.
Nice. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
He didn't cheer and sing. He hated everything. Yes, that was Paco's pick a flick.
I'm going to apologize in advance to our listeners because we're going to go a little bit long on this because I did not want to not have this before Valentine's Day. This was another article that I found. I'm going to we'll see if I can talk over an entire song here. This is a good one, too.
Yeah.
Good old Barry White that I had for this one. This is, because it's a show for dads,
yeah.
I thought, you know, we're giving information about Valentine's Day, but
I don't know about that.
I think that since we found everybody else, he said, I don't know about that. That's funny. But then, you know, we found out that guys, basically, we all want to get late, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the ideal night in bed, this is for his and her. This comes to us from Cosmopolitan UK, magazine for women. And they have some thoughts about it. This is what men want in bed. They want what? Huh?
Pot him down a little.
Pot Barry? Is he too loud?
Yeah, I want to hear you, man.
Okay, all right. Listen, I can kill him. Fuck him. is he dead? That's weird.
Yeah.
It says it compares men and women that women are marathoners. It's that thing we've heard, and men are sprinters in the sack. And it says, for a man who has reached the finish line, no matter how quickly, he is going to be pretty darn satisfied, whilst us women are left singing the Rolling Stones. That's weird that I have to read a woman thing in first person. I just realized that. I can't get no. It seems that too often men and women are running in different races, and so how can they possibly stand a chance of finishing together? Here's how. Boys prefer you walk into the room where the girl is already naked or wearing some variation of sexy underwear. Some went as far as hoping for romantic surroundings, a few candles, a dark room, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Foreplay lasting approximately 10 minutes. They spring for 10, or for 5 minutes, I apologize. They spring for 10 if a blowjob is involved. Hello, indeed. Yeah, that was. Yeah, how's that, Jerry? Yeah, you like that? Yeah. 2 hours of sex. At least 5 different positions are involved. I don't know what guys are doing it for 2 hours, but I can tell you that this one isn't.
No, no.
Now, this is what the girls say. This is where I'm really hoping to.
Oh, hang on a second.
Yes.
Begging for an hour and 45 minutes.
That counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it is.
2 hours. Yeah.
So the girls, they want to undress one another. That part is very, very important. 100% of females ask that's what they started with.
That they want to they want them and their male partner to undress each other.
Yes.
Okay. Because the way it read sounded like the women were undressing each other, and I suddenly got very interested in the story.
No. That is.
All right. I'll go back to paying only partial attention.
I apologize. The what's the other thing here? I'm skipping around to foreplay lasts for 20 minutes, 15 for her, 5 for him. So 15 minutes of it is about her, and 5 of it is for him. Sex for as long as he can last. A variety of positions, no numbers specified. Nearly all of the males I asked said they want over an hour of sex in their ideal world. When speaking to the females, on the other hand, it seems they were happy to go for as long as they could or as long as he could. Too many, it is considered to be undermining a woman if she is giving a man what he wants, when really this is just as much a symbol of her sexual independence because she is choosing to pleasure him. Unfortunately, men often develop the disillusioned notion that this is a sign of their sexual power over the female, and a misconstrued idea is born that women don't like or don't want sex as much as men do, which, of course, is a lie. So says her. I ask one further question. If you could have average, fairly short sex every night or really great sex once a week, which would you choose? All but one of the males chose sex every day, and every female chose great sex once a week. So I thought that was interesting, too. And let's see if I still have this here. No, I don't have that. All right, we're going to have to move on. I found an interest. It's worth a Google search if anybody's interested, because I thought, here's what my assumption was, is that most people, or most ladies, from what I've heard and what I did some poking around on this is where it's going to sound super creepy. If you think me watching my wife shower, talk about figuring out how to please a woman and then broadcasting it over the internet. But that, right. that everybody, I would assume that the cunnilingus, if you would, the oral yes. pleasure is what a lady would prefer.
Yeah.
And I found an interesting article that talked about some fantastic techniques about teasing her lightly. They said most women prefer a side-to-side motion, but some do like an up-and-down motion.
I tell Luna she's fat, but I think I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, that might be it. You probably don't want to open that. Open with undressing each other.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the opener.
Then, oh my God, you're fat. No.
Wait till that's over. Okay. Wait till it's over. Okay. It's better that way.
Okay.
Because then everybody's gotten what they need. One of the things that I thought was interesting was they said use your ears, that if you pay attention to the rhythm of her breathing and the noise that she makes, you could tell that if what you're doing is working or not working.
Right. If she's snoring, for example, you're probably not in the right area.
Change stream. Go side to side, not up and down. Go side to side. They said that a lot of women prefer that you work the clitoral hood, if you would, but some women like you to work the labia.
Right.
But nobody wants to be jabbed.
See, I play with Luna's balls.
Oh, that's the same thing.
It's another option.
Yeah, that's the same thing. They also said that you want to practice like you're licking an ice cream cone as opposed to jabbing anything. And then they said
does get all over my shirt.
Same thing. And they said there's a crescendo, and that when there's a crescendo, that what you want to do is maintain what you're doing and then apply pressure at a certain given moment, and that to not feel like it's a bad thing if she doesn't actually orgasm, because they said that for women, it's more about just feeling good than necessarily achieving that orgasm.
This is interesting because it kind of tags back up on the conversation we had with Nikki, and I'm sorry, Mike, I want to say.
Yes, you're right. Absolutely right.
Her saying, let's just do this thing and not putting the weight on it on her side.
Exactly.
Like that pressure.
Exactly. One of the things that in that article that I read that I thought was also really interesting is that before you begin, one of the ladies said that one of the sexiest thing anybody has ever said to them, multiple ladies said this, before a gentleman began to go down on her, is that they said, get comfortable.
I like that.
Because they said if a woman is not comfortable, then that there's no chance. And so you have to get her comfortable.
See, there's another way to look at that, because it could mean – you might as well get comfortable because I'm really bad at this. It's going to be a while.
No, they said not to feel like you lose, because what really also turns a woman on is they want you to feel like you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Not being put out by it.
By
the way, it works the other way around, ladies. I'm just saying. All right. So that's all I wanted to say. I hope that was fun. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Oh, let's play some Barry White when we get out of here.
He's gone.
He's not gone. I paused him.
Okay.
I've heard.
Yeah, there he is. Send us an email, show@thedadpodcast.com. Let me know if you liked the fun facts. Let me know if you liked the cunnilingus lesson, all that stuff. I can't wait to hear the feedback on that.
I have to say that Paco is hitting it on every one of those. I was like, nailed it.
Yeah.
It.
Paco swinging for the fences. Oh, Valentine's going to be good for the Luna. It's going to be a full moon if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
You can like us at Facebook.com/DadPodcast. Follow the show on Twitter at Dad Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Justin Worsham. Follow Paco on Twitter at The Real Paco L. Don't forget to go to GetJoyRide.com/TheDadPodcast so you can listen to the show and contribute to it financially. You can listen live anytime that we record at MixLR.com/DadPodcast. All you have to do is register, put your email in there, or if you get the app, you get an alert whenever we go live. They recently changed it, for anybody who is wondering why that's not happening, where I can't schedule broadcasts in advance, and that really frustrated me because I was going to put like a month out so people could plan accordingly, but whatever. Please go to thedadpodcast.com. For $24 a year, you could literally change our lives, and I would appreciate it immensely via PayPal, Patreon, whatever.
Hey, lovers out there, and I know you are all lovers. Here's what I want you to do is I want you to go to the Dad Podcast website and scroll down to the bottom and click on that Amazon banner. That's going to take you to the Amazon website, and I want you to click it and click it and click it and click it and click it into your bookmark. And every time you go back to the Amazon website, I want you to slide in through that bookmark. And before you know it, there'll be money coming to us. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Don't stop. Don't stop. We're almost there. Oh, my God. You did it.
The sexiest man alive, Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Tooley. This is Justin Worship saying, stay frosty, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day.
Girl, your love for me is all I need, and more than I can stand. Oh, well, babe, how can I explain all the things I feel? You've given me so much, girl, you're so unreal still. I keep loving you. I feel a change, something moved, I scream.